Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's great that you're able to join with us again this week. This is a very special week for us in Burnside because for the first time since lockdown, we're going to be opening the doors of our church, not just for me to come in and record the service, but for you to come in and join with us this week. Now, I know that many of you are still shielding and are not ready to come and join with us in the building just yet, so Burnside at Home is continuing. And we'll just see how this works out today, because obviously this is being pre-recorded so that you're able to watch it on Sunday. We'll also make a recording of what happens on Sunday and we'll make that available. It'll be very similar to this. But you might want to watch that to see what's happening in church as well. But you're very, very welcome. And today our service is going to be themed around the whole idea of returning. Of course, we're returning to the building, but really returning to a church building is possibly the least significant thing that we need to do or need to return to after lockdown. We're going to be thinking about returning to God. We're going to be following along the story of the lost son or the prodigal son. And we're going to find out how he, after going away from God, returned home again and found his father. And so that's our theme for today, returning to God, finding our Father, trusting in him and living by him. Now you may remember that at the start of lockdown, the very first Burnside at Home service, I read from Psalm 122. And I said at that time that this would be a great psalm to read whenever we would come out of lockdown and whenever the coronavirus was all gone. Now, little did I know that 5 months later, the coronavirus would still be here as much as ever. And whenever we'd be reopening our church, it would be under all the restrictions. I envisaged a great day of celebration whenever we would walk in and we'd rejoice and we'd shout for joy. But we still rejoice to come into God's presence. So I'm going to read from Psalm 122, just to set the scene of coming to the house of the Lord and rejoicing in God's house as well. And we are worshipping together today. So even if you're at home watching this, through the Holy Spirit, you can still be worshipping with those who are here in the church building as well. You may remember as well, at the beginning of lockdown, when we started these Burnside at Home services, the first Sunday I did it all myself, and then since then, we've had lots of people taking part. And on that second Sunday, the first people to take part were Eric Leslie reading from God's Word and Francis Blakely praying. I asked them to take part in the service. I don't know if they knew fully what they were doing on that occasion. I certainly didn't know what we were doing at that time, but it seemed like a good idea to get people involved. And I knew that both Eric and Francis had others in the house who could help them with the technical side of things. And then once the videos were recorded, then we managed somehow through social distancing still to get the videos together and get them onto our website for the service. So because they started off the whole process, I've asked Eric and Francis to take part in today's service as well. They've recorded videos and those videos are going to be shown in the live church service as well as on Burnside at Home, and so we want to thank them for taking part and look forward to them taking part as well. In a moment, after I read from Psalm 122, Francis is going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to take a moment and be still before the Lord and sing, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." We've had all this time throughout lockdown of stillness. Do you remember whenever Port Stewart was quiet? Do you remember whenever the beach was quiet? Do you remember whenever you walked along the promenade and there was nobody else there? There wasn't a car hardly parked along it. And we remember whenever we were still and quiet and we sought God. So let's pause, let's be quiet, let's seek the Lord today and let's return to him and come into his presence. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem."
Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence now, we give thanks for your great love, your continuing care, and for the gifts we receive from your hand each day. We rejoice that this morning we have the opportunity to come into your house to bring to you our praise and worship. We have been experiencing a period of time when life has changed in so many ways, but we have the assurance from your word, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today and forever. We confess, Lord, that prior to the pandemic, we may have been complacent about what was happening in our daily lives, taking so much for granted, such as attending Sunday worship, interacting socially with friends, our children attending school, and the freedom to enter a shop without wearing a face covering. We give thanks now, Lord, that progress is being made in medical and scientific understanding of coronavirus, and as a result, we pray that ways may be found to combat its effects. Father, may we see your hand at work in our community day by day, and may we play our part in supporting those who are anxious and concerned about the future, and unsure about how to emerge safely from current restrictions. May they know your comforting presence, and when we encounter any who have difficulties, may we remember the words in Colossians chapter 3, which exhort us to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The reading is from Luke 15, verses 11 to 31, the parable of the lost son. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country. He sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." Amen.
We come to God in prayer, and as we always do, we want to give thanks for your offerings. Of course, this week, with the church being open, there's an opportunity, and in a retiring offering as you leave, to bring your offering here. Do remember that you can drop church envelopes round to Jeremy, or indeed you can post cheques to the church address, and they will be gratefully received. We want to thank you for the support that you have shown. And I know these are difficult times for each one of you financially, but they're also very, very difficult times for our church financially. And we really do appreciate and need your support at this time. So let's come to God in prayer, giving thanks and then bringing our prayers for others. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks today for your people, and we want to give you thanks for this opportunity to give to you and to give to your work. And we praise you, Lord, for all those who have supported during this lockdown period. We ask, Lord, that the money that is received would be used wisely within our congregation and would be used to glorify you and lift your name on high. Lord, as we bring the needs of others to you today, we want to pray once again about the pandemic that is spread across our world. And Lord, as we look at the world today, we cannot see how things can ever get back to normal. And although, Lord, we recognize that perhaps we don't want them back to the way they were, we recognize, Lord, that with all of these restrictions, we long for the day whenever we are able to go about freely again. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us great wisdom as to how we live our lives and what we do on a daily basis. We pray for governments, Lord, that they would know the right decisions to make, whether it's with regard to healthcare, whether it's regard to business, whether it's regard to schools and education. We ask, Lord, that your will would be done in each one of these things. Lord, we pray for those who are anxious at this time, fearful of coming out of lockdown and leaving shielding behind. We pray, Lord, that you would help, that you would take away the fear and help them day by day in all of those decisions that they have to make and all the things that they need to do. Lord God, as we come to you today, we want to remember all those who are in great need of you. We know, Lord, that there are many who throughout this period of lockdown have begun to think seriously about spiritual matters, have thought seriously about you. But Lord, now there's this danger of the busyness returning and people forgetting about you. So we pray that people will come back and trust in you once again. Lord, we want to pray for those who are ill at this time. We know that there are many who are waiting tests, waiting treatment.
And yet that wait seems to go on endlessly with the pause that took place during coronavirus. We ask, Lord, that these health matters would be dealt with quickly. And we pray that people who are waiting would be seen and that they would be helped. Lord, as we think overseas today, we want to remember Peter and Anna Crawford. We thank you for them, and we thank you for their new life that they're starting in Greece and the new ministry that they're beginning there. We pray that you would be with them as they settle in, as they meet local Christians, as they work out what EMF are going to do in that area. Lord, use them, we pray. Help them with the language studies. Help them as they settle into the culture there. And Lord, may you use them mightily to bring others to you and find salvation in you. So Lord, be with us now, we pray. And answer our prayers according to your will and your purpose. Amen. Today then, we are embarking on a little series which has been produced by our Presbyterian Church. And it's entitled Prism, Perspectives from the Pandemic Experience. And the whole idea is that we bring a prism. You know how a prism works? Whereby you have a little block, a triangular block of glass, and whenever the light shines through it, it refracts the light into all the various colours of the rainbow. It's how a rainbow works whenever there's a raindrop in the way, and the light is split up and we can see clearly all the different colours. And so the idea is that over the next few weeks, we'll hold the prism up to our pandemic experience and allow God's light to shine through and to expose in our lives what we've been learning and what we've been doing. And today, as we think about that, we're going to be looking at returning. And of course, today we've returned to our church building. But as I said at the beginning, that's not really the most significant thing that we're doing. It's not about returning to a building. It is about returning to God. And that is the most important thing today. So even if you're not returning to the building, if you're sitting at home today, worshipping with us online through Burnside at Home, or you're listening on the phone line or the podcast, we want to return to God. We want to return to the Almighty. We want to, even if you've come to God before, and even if you've been coming to God during this whole pandemic experience, today, we want to come afresh. We want to renew our relationship with God. We want to start things off right again for this new church season and this new season of life in the midst of the pandemic and as we look towards the future. So join with me now as we look at returning. And we're going to do all of that as we examine the story of the lost son, or the prodigal son, from Luke chapter 15. And Eric has already read that passage for us today, reminding us of the son. And it's such a well-known story. And I wonder, why is this story so well-known? Why is this story so much liked by so many people? Even people who don't come to church will use the phrase prodigal. And they'll know a little bit about this particular story. And I think that this story is so well-liked and so well-known because we can see ourselves in the story. We read it and we see ourselves there in the story. We can see how God is dealing with us. We can see what it's like to leave a father and come back to a father. We can see what it's like to rebel and go our own way and then come to our senses and return to God. And so it's such a well-liked story because there we are right in the midst of it. So let's look at it together today and see where we are, and to see where we can go because of this story. And the first thing that we see in the story is the rebelling. We see the rebellious son. We see the son who is there with his brother and his father, and yet he wants something more. He wants something different. And so he makes this declaration to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate," verse 12 of chapter 15. And his father listened to him and divided the property between the two brothers. And then, of course, the one who had received the inheritance
And not long after that, in verse 13, we're told the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And this is the rebellion, that he would go off, that he would leave the comfort of his father's house behind and go off looking for something more exciting, something better. And many in the world today have rebelled in that way. Maybe you've done it at a time in your life in the past. Maybe you're at that point right now where you've rebelled. You've left God's house. You've left him far behind. You knew about him in your youth. And then you decided that there was more to life, that there were better things available. And off you went, rebelling and looking for those things. And so the son is away. He's living it up. He's spending his money. He thinks enjoying himself. But then something happens. And after that rebelling, we've got to ask ourselves, is there an element of punishment that comes about for the son? Because after all, he's rejected his father, he's rejected his home, and then he ends up in trouble. And we wonder to ourselves, well, is this a punishment that's come to him? In verse 14, we read, after he had spent everything, there was a famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. And this is the question, was the famine sent as a punishment on the son? Now, it's a similar question to what's getting asked nowadays about the pandemic and about coronavirus. And people are asking the question, is coronavirus a punishment for rebelling against God? Is coronavirus a punishment for disregarding God's word and disregarding God's laws? And people will look at specific incidents over the last few years and ask, is this a punishment that God is sending? And they'll look at all sorts of big decisions that have been taken and they'll ask that question, is God punishing people because they're just living freely, they're disregarding his law, they've forgotten about his word, and they're doing whatever they want? And of course, there may well be an element of punishment, but it's not really punishment that we see here, because it can't be a punishment just for this son, because the whole country is a famine. Everyone is suffering at this time. It's not just the son who has rebelled. And we can have the situation where if we think that this is God's punishment on the world for disregarding him, we can point the finger at others and we can say, well, you changed that law and therefore God is angry and he is punishing you and you need to do something about it. But what we need to see is that all that happens here, this famine, this coronavirus, whatever it happens to be, perhaps God is trying to get our attention. And C.S. Lewis has a wonderful quote that's been mentioned many, many times during this whole coronavirus experience. And C.S. Lewis says, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And there's an awful lot of truth in what C.S. Lewis says, that whenever we are comfortable, whenever things are going well, we hear God's voice as a little whisper in the distance and we don't pay too much attention to it. Whenever we're about to do something wrong, perhaps our conscience pricks us and God then is speaking to us and we hear his voice a little bit louder and a little bit more persistent. But then we have the situation that whenever we are in pain, whenever we're suffering, suddenly God's voice becomes so clear to us and we hear it as if he's shouting, as if he's using a megaphone to get right into our hearts and to get our attention. And that's what happened to the prodigal son here. He's lived his life whatever way he wanted, and now there's a famine. And now God has got his attention because of the pain and suffering. And today God has got the attention of the world because of the coronavirus and because of everything that has happened since it.
And people are turning and listening to what God has to say. And we need to make sure that we don't miss this moment. David Thompson from the Council of Congregational Life and Witness in our Presbyterian Church was writing in Tides this week. And he said in one of those little devotionals, he says, it will be such a wasted moment if we just revert back to normal and fail to be renewed in our lives as disciples and churches. Rather, our lives need to be refined by the experience, redefined more in the image of Jesus Christ, so that they may result in praise, glory, and honor when he is revealed. What a wonderful thought. It'll be such a wasted moment if we just revert back to normal. Now, today the church is open. It's very, very different from what it was before. And it would be a shame if we got back to normal. Yes, we want to get rid of face masks. We want to be able to sit and talk together. That normal is good. But if we just went back to exactly the way we did things in the past, then this moment would be wasted. And so it is in our lives. If we just go back to the hustle and bustle and the busyness, so many people that I've been talking to have said how much they have enjoyed the quietness, the stillness, the less busyness of life. And they want to try and hold on to some of that. And that's what we need to do. And that's what we need to look towards. At the very beginning of our service, we were singing the hymn, Be Still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. To be still, because God is here among us. And wherever you happen to be today, through God's Holy Spirit, he is here with us. Be still and realize that God is here. Be still and take the time to listen to what he is saying to you. Be still before the Lord and wait upon him. And realize that he is trying to get our attention. So once God has the attention of the prodigal son, then we move from rebelling to repenting. The son realizes what he has done. He realizes the enormity of the decisions that he's taken in life, and so he repents of them. And this is where we need to stop waiting for others to repent, and we need to repent ourselves. There's a danger where we point the finger at others and point out their sin and say, that's why God sent the coronavirus. But we need to look at ourselves and see our own sin. The last couple of weeks we've been thinking about forgiveness and then amazing grace. And God wants us to repent of our sin, realize what we have done wrong, and realize that we need his grace and his mercy. So stop waiting for others to repent, and we need to repent ourselves. When he came to his senses, we read in verse 17, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. That's what we need to do. Not just saying, Lord, there are other people who have done terrible things and they need to repent, but saying, Lord, I have sinned against you. Against you only have I sinned. And I need your mercy and I need your forgiveness. The son went on to say, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. It was a true humbling experience. It was true repentance. It was realizing the enormity of his sin and calling out to God. And then after the repenting, we have the returning to God, the realizing that God is the one that we turn to. And the prodigal returns to his father. He makes that step. He doesn't just realize that he's done something wrong. He doesn't just realize that he needs to put it right. He actually gets up and he makes a step. There are many people throughout lockdown who will have realized that they need God. And yet now that things are opening up again, they'll forget about that decision and they'll forget about God. Verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. And that's what we need to do today. In this returning process, we need to get up and return to our Father. Wherever you are today, get up and return to the Father. Come back to Him. Experience the joy of His forgiveness again. Experience His fellowship again. Come to Him and seek Him. So what did He do? He got up, He went to His Father. And what happened? While He was still a long way off, His Father saw Him and was filled with compassion for Him. He ran to His Son, threw His arms around Him and kissed Him. What a wonderful picture of a father welcoming back a son who had rebelled, a son who was repenting. And that is the picture that we have of our Heavenly Father welcoming us back. Call out to Him today, confess your sin, and be welcomed back with the compassion from the Father. The Son had gone, He had gone away from God. But now He's coming back to His Father. And as we come back, we need to realize, as John tells us in John 14 and verse 6, that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If we want to return, we return through Jesus. We return through His forgiveness. We return through His amazing grace. We return through His sacrifice on the cross. So we need to return to God. We need to realize that it's better in our Father's house. Take a moment today and just think for yourself, why is it better in my Father's house? Why is it better in my Father's house than being out in the world doing all sorts of things? Why is it better doing what my Father wants rather than doing what I want out there? Why is it better obeying God's laws in my Father's house than doing whatever we want in the world? It's better because the Father loves us. It's better because the Father cares for us. It's better because the Father is with us. So return to the Father today. Are we really serious about this returning to God? Are we serious about coming back to Him and finding Him afresh? Are we serious about changing things today in our lives? This is the moment to do it. Not in 6 months' time whenever we get back to normal, but doing it today as we gradually come out of lockdown, gradually return and change and make things the way that God wants us to make them. What are our priorities? What can we do as a church? We can turn to God. We can put His word first in our lives and seek it. We can turn to Him in prayer. Those are two very basic things that we can do as a church. And yet we've got the opportunity, we've had the opportunity during lockdown to worship each week, to study throughout the week. And the wonderful thing about this little prism section that we're going through of returning is that there's also a Bible study aspect to it all. So each day this next week on the blog, on the website, you'll find, as we've had in the past, a little 5-minute Bible study each day. But it's going to be based upon what we've been thinking about today. It's going to be a lead on from that. And look in each day, watch the little video, just spend a moment or two in your devotions thinking about this whole idea of returning and what God wants. And then maybe contact someone else who's listening to it. Contact them, talk about what you've been doing. We're not able to gather together for Bible study in a big group at the minute, but we could do it in ones and twos. There could be far more people within our church studying God's word than there's ever been in the past. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way out of lockdown, that we are all studying God's word? So that's my challenge for you today. Return to God, seek Him, find Him. Use some of these resources that we've got to find Him and study His word, have fellowship with other believers. Now that lockdown is easing, you might want to invite somebody else around to your house. If it's a nice day, sit out in the garden and talk about what we've been talking about today.
If you want to get into it in a bit more depth, there are questions available, and I'll put those onto the website as well so that you can get those and so that you can go into even more depth. But listen to this message, listen to the message on the blog each day, and talk to somebody about it, because that's how we'll learn. That's how we'll grow as Christians together. Let's delve deeper into all that God has available to us. What does God want you to do? What does God want me to do? And maybe even more importantly, what does God want us not to do? What does he want us to leave behind and to throw away at this time? We're going to come now to our final piece of worship this morning. If you're at home, you can sing along. If you're in church, you're just going to listen to it. But it's The Heart of Worship by Matt Redman. And this is a hymn where Matt is struggling with the whole idea of what is involved in worshiping God. And he's trying to strip everything else away and see what a relationship with God is all about. That worship isn't just singing. And that's good, because we're worshiping today and we're not singing. But worship is much more than that. It's our relationship with God. It's our heart and the direction that our heart is going. So in this hymn, the words are quite simply, whenever the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, simply return to God, longing just to bring something that's of worth to God, that will bless his heart. It's not the expertise of our music or the tunefulness of our singing, but it's our hearts being brought to God. I'll bring you more than a song, it says. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. And then the chorus says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Today we're returning, and we're coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Holy Spirit. So let's bow together in prayer. Let's ask that God would speak to us through this song, and that he would draw us back, and that we would come returning to him today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come today returning to the heart of worship. We know that it's not just a song that you want, but it's a heart given over to you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us reprioritize our lives, that we would come returning to you this day, and that we would find you and meet with you and worship you. For, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to enjoy the Getty family hymn sing, as we often do at the end of our lockdown services. In a moment, we're going to enjoy the Getty family hymn sing, as we do often at the end of Burnside at Home. But we've just been faced with the stark reality of our sin. And so, as we come to the end of our worship, I want to pray this benediction of blessing for each one of you, that you would know the forgiveness that God has in store for us. May God's love and mercy be upon us today. May he cleanse us and refresh us from every transgression. Let your joy and gladness dawn in our spirits, O Lord, and the recreating power of your Holy Spirit make us new today. Have mercy on us, O God, we pray, and let your Spirit lead us in truth and righteousness. For we pray it for your sake. Amen. Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Richard here, and today is a very special occasion as we open up the church building once again. What you're listening to is a pre-recorded version of what will take place in Burnside on Sunday the 6th of September. This may be slightly longer than what actually happens in the church service because we're going to keep it to a minimum in length so that we spend only about half an hour together. But it will be very similar. Even though we've opened up for services, this audio phone version of the service will continue for a few weeks until we get everyone back again. Please don't feel under any pressure to come and join us on a Sunday. If you're shielding or you're still not ready to come into crowds at the moment, that is fine. Please take your time. The theme for our service today is returning. And do remember that as well as that, we have a Bible study that will be available midweek on the phone line as well. And I do hope you enjoy our service of worship today as we think about returning, not just to the church building, but of course, returning to God.